You know, before I actually get into my message this morning, I want to just thank a few people. You may have noticed as you came in the lobby today that it's been freshly painted out there. And April's not in the room. Laura's not in the room. Oh, April's here. Linda, where did Linda go? Linda was in the room. So anyway, and Nate Holt. These three ladies and Nate Holt did a wonderful job of cleaning up our lobby and painting it. It's just kind of a subtle color change, so maybe you didn't really notice it, but it is so nice, and it was so needed. This is the kind of facelift that we got in our hallway a few weeks ago, and now we have the lobby done, and we got a few other projects that we're going to be getting into, and that leads me to encouraging you to make sure. Next Saturday, folks, is our annual kind of spruce up the grounds, spruce up the property day. We begin at 9 o'clock in the morning. This is going to be something for the whole family. So I want to encourage you to, there's part of me that says this is part of our responsibility as good citizens of Grace Church to take care of our stuff and our property. So let me encourage you to be here next Saturday. We've got a lot to do, and the more hands, of course, the more effective, and it's fun. It's a way of building community as well. There are things that you find out about each other digging in the garden that you don't sitting here in a meeting on Sunday. I'm serious about that. It's really, really true. Things you want to know, and then maybe TMI stuff sometime as well. But thanks for those of you who helped getting that done out there. And Ralph is actually going to be finishing the project up this week sometime, hopefully. So, listen, I want to talk today to you about something Phil mentioned. We're going to be beginning a series on Sabbath. Before I do that, though, I'm just wanting to orient us this morning. A number of years ago, I can't even remember how many years ago, it was at this point now, Tom Marski, our good friends Tom and Val Marski, Lynn and I, we went down to Zanesville to check out some property that Tom and Val owned down there. It was about 5 years ago, something like that, Tom. Anyway, we had a great time walking the property that Tom hunts and Val hunts on down there. And on our way back, we wandered up through Amish country on a Sunday. It was kind of just a pleasant drive. Ran into some cities called Millersburg. You ever been to Millersburg, anybody? And Berlin, Ohio. Any of you have been to Berlin, Ohio? We were driving to these towns on Sunday afternoon, and guess what? It is shut down. I mean, the restaurants are all closed, as many as there are. The restaurants are closed. The businesses are closed. I don't even know if we could find a gas station open, but it was like stepping back into a different time. Now, those of you who are my age remember days when that was the case here in Toledo even, right? And if you're probably under 50, you don't remember many of those days. Maybe even that's a little bit, you know, a little bit low there, but it used to be the case when if you needed something on Sunday, you better get it when? Saturday, because nothing is open on Sunday. I was going to say, you know, it used to be a little bit like Thanksgiving, but I can't do that anymore. Or it used to be a little bit like Christmas, but I can't do that anymore. You see, it's becoming increasingly the case, isn't it, where we live in a world that is 24/7. Really, I mean, everything is available all the time. It just is that way. I think those days are gone, and they are never to return. I visited this website in Berlin, Ohio, you know, kind of like looking at their different amenities and things they have to do there. And one of the things they said essentially on the website is, "We shut down here in Amish country on Sunday because it is a day of rest and worship." Now, I think it's ironic that while we live in a time where we have all this amazing technology, don't we, that's designed to help us save time, right? Where we have more free time than we've ever had before, yet at the same time we're pressed for time more than ever before. We live in a world that never stops. And the reality of it is that we never stop too, I think. Now, I think God has something to say to us in all of this. And this is what we're going to be talking about as we go through this series on Sabbath. I think He has one word to say to us. Anybody have any ideas what that word is? Stop. I think the word of the Lord for us as we go through this series is stop. Now, we'll explore all that. We're going to look at what the Bible says about Sabbath, or we could call it the Lord's Day, or we could call it a day of rest, whatever it is that we call it. We'll ultimately discover that what He is going to direct us to goes and cuts against the grain of the world that we live in, and in the way, in fact, most of us live in this world that we live in. My job this morning is simply to tell you why we're going here and why we're going here now. My first real exposure to this idea of a biblical Sabbath rest, other than my growing up years, and it was just part of the culture that you lived in back in those days, but my first exposure to it as an adult, I guess you might say, was in 2006. Now, I attended with several other leaders a conference in Mansfield, Ohio, called The Sabbatical Way. Now, this was not a conference that I would normally go to. This was a conference that was the annual conference for the Alliance for Renewal Churches. And this church is a part of the Alliance for Renewal Churches. And as leaders of an Alliance for Renewal Church, we're expected to attend the annual conference. But if somehow a brochure for a conference called The Sabbatical Way came across my desk from another church group, I would quickly file it into the can next to my desk. I'm not drawn or interested in going to a conference. There's nothing compelling about that title to me in 2006 called The Sabbatical Way. But I went because I had to. Sabbath, or the practice of Sabbath, I've always thought is something that is optional and not essential. As a believer, I thought, you know, this is kind of a Jewish thing. And it's interesting that it is one of the Ten Commandments, right? And it is the only one of the Ten Commandments that we so easily dismiss as being, like I said, non-essential. I'm not a Jew, and I'm not under the law. In fact, this is where in Exodus chapter 20 we see the Ten Commandments and the practice of Sabbath commandment actually coming in. But I'm not a Jew and I'm not under the law. In fact, one of my favorite songs is Free from the Law, O Happy Condition. I mean, it's nice if you want to do that, but not necessary, not essential. So if it's not for this ARC conference, I'm not there, essentially, is what I'm telling you. So I did go to the conference, and a man named Doug Fike spoke at the conference, and he made great sense. He talked to us all about the rhythms in life. And he talked about the seasons of life, and he equated the rhythms or the seasons of life to the seasons that we experience in nature, where there is a spring, a summer, a fall, a winter. And different things happen in each of those rhythms. And he encouraged us to essentially embrace the fact that these rhythms are there. And if we embrace the fact that these rhythms are there, we are more in line with or ordered with God's order in our life. He showed us that this concept of stopping was all over the Bible, and it really is, as we'll see as we get into the scriptures together in weeks ahead. And he showed us that this was an important thing to God because he wanted his people to practice this for their benefit. And Doug talked about how God provided rhythms to life that are centered around this idea of Sabbath keeping or stopping or resting, however you want to describe it. Now that sounded interesting to us, to some of us more than others of us. This happened in April of 2006. We came back. I felt a little bit like the folks that Paul spoke to in Athens when he was doing the Mars Hill thing, where it says in Acts that the people that he spoke to said, "We want to hear from you again on this subject." I mean, it wasn't all that compelling to me, but it was kind of interesting. So yeah, I'll come back and listen to you a little bit more on this. But I'm not convinced enough that this is something that I actually feel biblically is a compelling case. So we came back and we picked up this book called Keeping the Sabbath Holy by Marva Dawn. And when I say we, I mean our staff team picked that up after we got back just to further investigate this concept of Sabbath keeping. And that led to something after we had read, well, we never did finish this book, I don't think, which is not unusual for us at times. Some are more compelling than others. But we came back and we read the book, and then we decided to do something that was, I think, looking back on it, we really weren't prepared to do and to do well. We were going to lead you all into this idea of Sabbath. And we thought one of the ways that we'll do this, we'll discover for ourselves, you know, how this works by practicing Sabbath ourselves. And so as a staff, some of you might remember this, in 2006, we decided to take a Sabbath rest or month, if you will. And the reason for that was to engage this ourselves so that in the fall we could roll this thing out and you guys could judge for yourselves whether or not this was from God. And that went so poorly. It was just not thought through, I think, well, and I don't think we were ourselves fully prepared for what came, but it ended up being the busiest month of the entire year, I think. I don't think we stopped that whole month. We were just not prepared. And as a result of that, this subject, the subject of keeping Sabbath, hasn't come up for a number of years because I think on some kind of subliminal level we decided that this whole thing is kind of a fantasy. It can't be done in the world that we live in today. There are too many demands on our time for us to stop. We will stop when we die, essentially, I think is our unstated approach to life. Then around a year ago, Gene Holt suggested this book called Strengthening the Soul of Your Leadership. So our staff got together and we began to read that book. By the way, this is something that we've done for at least 10 years as a staff team, is study books together. It is kind of an unstated but a high value for us to continue to learn. Do you know what I mean? To learn together. And so we have done this faithfully for 10 years. And it's really helped us grow, and it's helped you all in ways that you probably can't connect to, because some of the things that we've done in our staff study has really led to forming us as a congregation. But anyway, we picked up this strengthening the soul of your leadership. It looked good. And there was a chapter in the book called Spiritual Rhythms in the Life of the Leader. And it was all about the need to work and the need to stop working. It was about rhythms. So here we were in 2013, 7 years later, once again engaging in this in the practice of Sabbath and keeping this day, we'll explain more about this next week, but keeping this day holy or set apart, one day a week where you stop. Now, I was telling Jean this morning, I was on my way over here thinking about this, the fact that 2006, when we first engaged this, and 7 years later, we encounter it again. 7 years is not an insignificant number when you consider Sabbath, friends. Think about it for a minute. You work 6 days, and on the seventh day, what? You rest. And then there was this thing in the Old Testament called a Sabbath year. You guys know what a Sabbath year is? 6 years, you plow the land, you harvest the land. On the seventh year, what do? You let it rest. You don't plant. You don't harvest. You let it rest. In fact, there's a promise that God makes concerning the Sabbath year. Listen to this, because this is really interesting. We'll get into this much deeper as we go along through this series. But he says this, I will send such a blessing in the sixth year, the land will yield enough fruit for 3 years after that. So the point is that you don't do any, you collect enough on the sixth year that will last you for years to come. And God promises that he'll provide it if you leave the land alone. And then there was the thing called the year of Jubilee. Anybody know what that is? 7 times 7. 49 years, and then on the 50th year, all kinds of cool things happen. Like, for example, one of the things on the year of Jubilee is this, that if you happen to lose your land, which is everything, right? I mean, if you happen to lose your land along the way during those years, on the year of Jubilee, you get your land back. So that you're never at a place where you don't have the ability to contribute to the world around you and to make a living. Now, we'll see this too, that Israel never practiced these things well. And in fact, it was because of their refusal to practice the Sabbath year that 2 Chronicles tells us this is one of the reasons they were carried off into captivity. But I digress. I just think it's really amazing that here we are 7 years later, once again encountering this. And 7 is a significant number when we're talking about Sabbath. So, you know, I think there were others on the staff team who were way out in front of me personally regarding the practice of keeping a day of rest. I think of Roxanne, and I think of Mary Brack, and I think of Ralph and Sandy have been doing it. John and Sarah Navarre have been doing it for some time as well. And there are people that I've asked as we go through this to come and share their stories about Sabbath keeping and what that's been like for them. And so we'll get to hear from others as we go along through this series. But all this is to say, when we engaged Ruth Haley Barton book on strengthening the soul of your leadership, I began to hear things personally a little bit differently than I had when I attended the Doug Fike thing. And I began to think that we really need to press into this, because as we discussed this as the staff, it became increasingly apparent that we were hearing from the Lord here as we looked at this, and he was encouraging us to pray only differently than we had before. We needed to do the work, I think, this time. And so we developed a team who actually began to do a study of the theology of Sabbath. I mean, we'd read books and I went to a conference, but the one thing we hadn't done is really look into the Word of God and see what God's Word says to us about Sabbath rest. So we've developed a theology of Sabbath, and I think we began meeting in March, somewhere right in through there. And we went through the Pentateuch, the first few books of the Bible, which has much to say about Sabbath. Then we came together to look at the rest of the Old Testament. We looked at the intertestamental period, the periods between. We looked at the Gospels, we looked at the rest of the New Testament, and we are anxious to share with you what we have discovered in God's Word in the weeks ahead. That's why we're going here and why we're going here now. You know, I've talked to several of you, have asked me, what are we doing next, Doug? And I've told you where we're going, and I've gotten some real positive reactions. It seems to me like we're ready for this discussion. I got a sense that this is going to be a good thing for us, and that we're ready to talk about this. I think that we all see a need to orient our lives around God, and Sabbath keeping really is part of that. It's part of orienting our lives around the Lord and practicing a day of rest that brings rhythm and life to our relationship with God. I think God is continuing to shape us into His people, and I think this is a practice that He wants us to be about in the culture here at Grace Church. So I hope you're intrigued by all this, and we are going to develop a bibliography for you, certain books that you can read along the way. We'll be doing some devotionals on the website, and there was one other thing I think that we're doing. But anyway, we're going to do this in a multifaceted type of way. Friends, God's after our hearts, and this is one thing that I need to say as we orient this discussion on Sabbath. This is about our hearts. It really is about our hearts. You see, when I went to that conference back in 2006, I wasn't really engaging with this on kind of a heart level. And this is really about worship, and it's about covenant. It's about covenant keeping. It's about trust. Worship and trust is a story in Exodus 16 that you should read sometime this week. But it's the story of, Gene's going to teach on that, so I won't do it right now. But it has to do with trust. It's an incredible picture in Genesis 2 that we're going to talk about next week that has to do with worship. But this is a practice between you and the Lord from your heart. One of the parallels to this whole thing that came up early in our discussion is how we give our money. You see, giving our money is not really about our money, it's about our heart, isn't it? It's about God having the whole of our life. It's about trust. Do you trust God that there'll be enough if you give this? It's about worship. It's about devotion. You see, Sabbath keeping is the same thing, the same lesson. Let me ask you a question. If you stop, do you think you're going to get, will it get done? Will it all get done? Yeah. I know. But I think it's the same kind of principle. And here's the thing, too, about it. You know, this church has never been about going and policing whether you're giving. No one here has ever asked you for your 1044. To make sure that you're giving, you know, it matches your 1040. Because you see, it's between you and God and your heart. And it's the same way about Sabbath. I've seen Sabbath in a legalistic way. And this is one of the warnings that I just want to issue this morning. No one's going to be, the servant leadership team, those who watch over the spiritual life of this church, aren't going to be jumping in their cars on Sunday afternoons going around visiting your houses to see what you're doing today. See, it's not about that stuff at all. Back in the 80s, I visited a community in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and they fully engaged this practice of Sabbath. And I was a college student at the time, and I took some homework with me because I was going to be up there in the afternoon. They had a meeting in the evening, and I was going to do this in the afternoon. And I did, and man, did I get the kind of, you know, people were scowling at me for doing homework on the Sabbath. None of that's going to happen here. Because you see, it's about our heart and not about judging others or pointing fingers at others. In fact, what you do on the Sabbath might be work to me, and what I do on the Sabbath might be, you know what I'm saying. We'll get into all that. There was another occasion back in the 90s when I had the amazing privilege of visiting the Holy Land and going to Israel. So I'm in Israel on the Sabbath, okay? I'm in Jerusalem, in fact. And I get on, I can't remember the name of the hotel we were in, Chris, but we're like on the third floor and the food's on the first floor, so I'm on my way, right? And this is Saturday morning, get in the elevator, and the doggone elevator's broken. It's stopping on every floor. So I go over to the desk to report it to the, you know, the person at the desk. They said, oh no, it's not broken. You can't push the button on the Sabbath, you see. So the elevator automatically stops on every floor. Now, I'm just going to tell you something else, and I'm just saying. The Jewish folk practice Sabbath that way, but they have no qualms about getting Palestinians to come in and do the work on the Sabbath. You see, they found a way around it again. It's called, we don't do it, but the work doesn't stop. We get somebody else to do it. So it doesn't really stop. You see, that's legalism. Well, the other fascinating thing is this. The real Orthodox Jews would start throwing stones at cars, people who drive, because you're not allowed to drive on the Sabbath there. But I guess it's not work to pick up stones and throw them at the cars that are driving on the Sabbath there. Because it's all about, this is what I'm talking about, is a practice from the heart between you and the Lord. And so I just want to encourage you, as we go through these days ahead, listen to the voice of the Lord. Just open your heart, see what He has to say, and we'll go ahead from there. Now, next week we're going to look at Genesis, the passage that we read this morning, Genesis 2, verses 1 through 3. And if you really want to get a jump start on things, I'd encourage you, families, especially you, to read Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, and you'll get a feel for where we're going. Now, I normally don't do this, and maybe I don't need to do this. I would be, well, anyway. Does anybody have any questions? So I want to make sure that we're all real clear on where we're going. Anybody got a question? Emily, what's your question, sweetie? No, you don't have one, I know. All right. Are you up for this, you guys? Yeah. Are you excited about it? I am. I'm really jazzed about this. I think we've discovered some really cool things in the scriptures together, and I'm excited to share them with you. Like I said, we'll hear from several families and people in the church who practice this, and we'll go from there. I'm just seeing this as another step in the Lord forming us as His people. You know what? We Rita, that was a great. She asked if we finished the book. Actually, that was like chapter 7. However, I must say this. This coming Tuesday, we will have finished this book. And we're going to have a party the week after that. This one will have finished up. Yeah. Thanks, Rita. Not yet, but it's coming, yeah. Well, Father, we are glad that You continue to lead, even when we sometimes resist. You gently bring us back again and again. So we are excited about this journey of looking into Your Word regarding resting, stopping, ceasing, and honoring You with our time, that other resource that we have. So, Lord, we pray that You would just continue to show Yourself to us in the weeks ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. By the way, I think we mapped out, like, we'd be done 7 Sundays from this, and then we'll have no church that Sunday, huh? You just send your tithes and offerings into the office. That would be... We'll see.